Getting you home. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover.
It's Friday. It's the Gadget Guide. It's Lawrence, but where's Rob?
Hello, Julian. Rob's on his way to a camping weekend in the Lake District.
Probably better off here, really.
I think they're going to be doing some radio-related stuff as well.
Why does that not surprise me?
Of the amateur variety.
So. Okay, well, I best to Rob if he's listening en route, which I suspect he probably is.
Depends on how sticky the A14 is, I think, and the A1M.
They'll be listening on 3G, using the radio player, having it in car mode and all the rest of it.
We'd like to think they are, and if they are, they can send a text message and we'll see it, won't we?
Know the number. Right, okay then, what are we going to be talking about today?
So we're going to be talking about messaging apps, and we're going to go back a little bit in time in history to where it all started, and then look to some of the stuff that's literally only weeks old. But before that, a bit of tech news.
Okay.
So first tech news is the thing I have sitting on the desk here, which I finished unboxing, just the new Samsung Galaxy S6. So this was released today, and you can actually buy it today in store.
In Cambridge, as you've proven.
Yes. Managed to walk into a retailer of the car phone variety and actually pick one up. Don't use the click and collect, because that has a two-day waiting period on it while they actually move stock around.
So that's a back office issue, isn't it, rather than anything wrong with the phone?
It turns out click and collect on the website is a different stock system to stock in shop. So the best thing is phone the shop and say, have you got one? I'm coming down to collect it.
The old-fashioned methods are best.
It is, yes. Online ordering just failed in that instance. But yes, must say kudos to their back office support phone number, which you phone up and you're saying, the order said I could pick it up in store and it says 2 days. And they said, well, we'll cancel your web order and we'll make sure that there's one in stock for you in store. And all of that was fine. So yes, phone calls do actually get devices. But other devices you might not be able to get with a phone call is the Apple Watch. Pre-ordering opened today.
That's good.
If you pre-ordered one when ordering opened today, you might be able to pick it up in store on the 24th of April.
However,
and this I did a look right now at the Apple Web Store now, if you go in and pre-order, the cheapest, the Sport Watch, which is around £479, 4 to 6 weeks at the moment. And some of the more expensive ones with the metal straps and so on are already pushing out to June. And some of the higher-end stuff, August. So, yes, if you want one sometime before the end of summer, order it today.
Sounds like you want one for Christmas, doesn't it, at the moment? This is not good.
It is a little bit like that. Yes, yeah. They are suffering supply things, but they're not alone in that.
Would they have been aware of that when they started?
You'd like to think so.
You know, Apple aren't stupid. They bring out some clever products, so you'd think that this side of it, they'd be able to get right.
I think the problem is possibly the accountants saying, no, you can't order 100,000 units and have them in stock on day one, because, you know,
in case that people... People don't. Is this a supply issue, like an internal supply and payment for the parts?
I'm guessing so. You know, obviously you've got to commit to your suppliers for that many screens, that many, you know, all the bits and pieces that make up the device.
Mm.
So yeah, they probably just couldn't actually stretch to the levels that might have actually accommodated the excitement. It's one of those things. And like I said, they're not alone in that. I've got the Samsung Galaxy S6 sitting here on the desk. The S6 Edge is already in supply shortage. And, I mean, today's the launch day. Today's the available day. Yes, you can buy one today. You probably won't be able to buy one tomorrow, because they'll have run out of stock.
And just on those two phones, both the, was it the S6 that you say you purchased?
And the S6 Edge.
Where do they sit in terms of types of model? Are they high-end, low-end, somewhere in between?
This is Samsung's new flagship pair. The Edge being the one with the slightly curved bezel around the edge with the fancy illumination and so on. That is the more expensive phone. But the reviewers are saying if you're going for one or the other, the Edge probably isn't quite there yet, unless you just want the wow factor. The battery life's not as good on the Edge, according to the initial reviewers who've actually played with it for a week. Mib, who's on the waffle tonight, ordered his Apple Watch for his birthday, and that was 4 minutes after the pre-orders opened, and he already missed the first batch. So 4 minutes, they sold out the first batch.
I find that absolutely astounding. At least we haven't been presented with website crashes stories like one does every time a top band are performing at the O2. And where the only people able to access the site are touts.
Yeah, I mean, that was the case when, you know, a lot of these new bits of technology, I mean, when the first iPhone was available for ordering online, Apple's website crashed. When some of the first Android phones were available, those websites crashed. And yes, you'd think that some of these resellers would think, you know, we're launching it online, make sure that the servers are going to cope, or, you know, rent some space from Amazon or someone
or
to actually be able to accommodate.
They need to do, yes.
To be, yeah. I mean, other things in the news, just skimming around, Google have launched a new Chromebook, the Chromebook Pixel 2, which launched in the UK, available from the 21st of April, starting at £800. It's quite a high-end Chromebook now. They've done a lot of work on this, and it's now becoming quite a powerful little machine. So that'll be available through all the regular retailers as well, with an i5 processor in it, so it's actually now got, you know, a proper workhorse inside there. Other bits and pieces, you know, the Apple iWatch is making lots of news, Apple Watch is making lots of news around, you know, the shortages already. And another interesting one on the Google front, self-driving vehicles that are now sort of going through trials and so on make people car sick.
Do they? Now that's interesting.
Yes.
But is that a brain being confused kind of car sick?
I don't know. It's sort of the motion sickness thing is a new thing.
And do they travel in a? Is the sort of the is the feeling slightly different?
Possibly because you're not in control. So where you're used to driving, you know, you can anticipate the turns and the swerves and the cornerings and changes in speed. If something else is doing all of that, you know, you're just a passenger again. So, yeah, people who are not used to being passengers are apparently suffering car sickness.
I definitely do not want a driverless car. It's I know.
You mean a self-driving vehicle? Yes.
I've got a self-driving vehicle. I drive it.
You mean you haven't got the chauffeur organised?
Doesn't fit in the kind of car I have, that's for sure.
So that's about all the news that I can find for the moment. So after a break, we'll come back and talk about messaging apps. But we'll go back to the start of messaging, which was way back in the internet PC era. And do you remember IRC?
I don't know. Oh, I think I just about do, yes.
Or ICQ?
Oh, I remember that one. I think I had a subscription or something. The trouble is I didn't know anybody else, really, who also had such a messenger.
And then, are you on Periscope?
Am I on Periscope? No, I'm not, actually. Although I'm very tempted. And for I think for future reference, we should probably Periscope a broadcast of...
Be worth a go.
I think so. I think maybe we should do that when Rob gets back or something like that. So you're holding up a card there, Lawrence. What it looks like numbers. What's on the numbers? Let me just study that.
Yeah, so it helps if there's a microphone working. So because it's a new Android phone, mm-hmm. and I log into my Google account, I have two-factor authentication turned on. Worth turning on if you haven't got it turned on. It means that my password doesn't unlock my account. I need something else, either text message to my phone, a phone call to my landline, or a secret code generated by the Google Authenticator, which is an application you can run on your smartphone, Android as well as Apple. Problem is, of course, my phone I've damaged, so I can't get into the app, which is a bit of a problem. And it's just decided for some reason it's got no cell signal, so emergency calls only, because I can't get a text message, and my landline is set as my office number. So, yes, one of the things that they recommend you do is you create a set of backup verification codes, which are used once in order. So I have a little card here, which I've printed out.
Oh, so you've made that yourself? I thought that was something which was appeared in the phone.
This was generated in 2013, so this is how long I've had this backup card as a...
And you've been carrying this around your person ever since?
It lives in my wallet.
Okay.
You know, just somewhere safe. And so I used my first backup code, which I've now got to write off. You know, that one's been used.
Oh, I see. So it's like a...
It's a one-time password.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, that sounds good.
A proper spy one-time password type thing, yes. And that let me into my Google account. So, yes, the phone is activating and getting charged and so on. But messaging, just before you came back on air, you were talking about the problem with having multiple messaging services.
Well, yes, and it's kind of got better, but I'm wondering if it's...
It's getting worse.
It's getting worse again. It's very strange. I guess before you mentioned ICQ, you tend to have some sort of messaging aggregators.
Well,
but
the first sort of mainstream thing after bulletin boards and when we got the internet was IRC, Internet Relay Chat. That was about 1988. So, I mean, that's going back a
fair way back.
I mean, the things that came after that, ICQ, which was in 1996. Now, ICQ is still going.
Is it?
Yes.
Who's using it?
I don't know, but apparently, according to the figures, about 4 million people.
That's astounding.
The interesting thing about the ICQ client is it can also do Google message, Google Talk or Google's Hangout messaging, as well as Facebook messaging. So, you know, at least one client to do three there, which is possibly a benefit. The other ones that are still going, AOL Instant Messenger, which, you know, came out in 1997.
I used to use that for a while. In fact, that was quite popular. I think most of my friends were either using the AOL system or they were MSN. Using MSN. I was going to say MSN was the other one because that was bundled with Office for a while, wasn't it?
MSN, unfortunately, well, actually, they bundled it with Windows. Microsoft killed MSN. I mean, they changed it to being Live Messenger for a while, but when they bought Skype, they sort of said, well, you know, MSN's going to go away and die, and it has now officially been turned off. It doesn't work anymore. Everything's moved to Skype. You can log into Skype with your old Live messaging credentials, and all your contacts come across the screen.
And I notice as well, if you purchase or rent, effectively, the monthly fee for the Microsoft Office suite, they bundle in some free minutes for Skype.
Yes.
But I still don't use... I don't tend to use... I used to use Skype. I don't use Skype anymore.
Skype is an interesting one, and we'll get back to Skype in a bit. But the other one, of course, was Yahoo Messenger, which is still running as well.
Again, another one. I don't think I've used that one ever.
So, I mean, you said, you know, the problem of having all these multiple things. So, fortunately, there are some aggregating apps that let you access all of these at once. There's a couple of popular ones. One of them is Trillion. The other one is Pigeon.
I've come across Trillion, yeah.
And both of those allow you to log into multiple services at once. So you can have it logged into AOL, Yahoo, well, previously Live Messenger, ICQ, Facebook Messenger, and so on, all at the same time, one application. So less stuff to run on your phone or your PC or your Mac. So
because if you're running lots of applications anyway, it's going to start using up memory, isn't it?
So yeah. And also, the nice thing about Trillion, and I mean, it is still my favourite for multiple chat, is it lets you aggregate, and it can say, well, Julian Clover exists as MSN, or previously as AOL, as Facebook, and as Google Hangout, and I can consolidate you into one contact. And then when I click on you, it picks the one that's online, or that you've been most recently online. So the whole thing about instant messaging, I mean, you know, after we did all the PC messaging, when we started getting mobile phones, you know, the first thing was SMS and text messaging. Mm. We were all used to that when... Well, fairly soon after mobile phones came out and when all the networks worked out that this was something they could charge us money for, was sending text messages.
It took them a while. I do remember the day where you could only send a text message to somebody who was on the same mobile network as you, which
took a while.
Completely bonkers. And clearly the mobile phone companies weren't aware. They hadn't thought to what direction that service might go in.
The whole text messaging service was an afterthought. When they defined the whole mobile phone specification for voice of GSM, someone threw it in. And on the last day of the conference, when they were defining the standard, and it was like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever, no one will ever use that. And people now, you know, live and die by text messages. And, you know, if your text message can't get through, you can't communicate.
I think that's one of the key things for me anyway. And I never know if my usage is typical, behind or ahead of other people. But I tend to use now that Apple have integrated phone messages with their text messaging system. So, it means that with your Android phone, you can send me a message, and if I'm working, that'll be displayed on my computer screen as well as my phone. So that's good. I presume there's similar things on the Windows
side.
You've
nicely segged into the Apple-only portion of tonight's discussion.
I'm good like that.
So iMessage is something that is Apple-specific and is only on Mac.
But is there not a PC equivalent to that sort of thing?
No.
That's surprising.
It is one thing that Apple's a little bit ahead on, on as a platform. The nice thing is, as you said, I can send you a message. It arrives on your phone, but is displayed on your tablet, on your iPad, on your iPod Touch if you've got one, on your Mac, all at the same time. You can reply from that. It will pick the route that it works out is going to get to me. So in your instance, it'll be a text message back to me, and it'll deliver the message. Fantastic.
Yeah, but if I'm sending a text to my sister,
who's also got an
Apple, then it will presumably go over broadband.
Now, of course, the big advantage of this is if you've got Apple devices through the family, you can give the kids an iPod Touch, okay? They can then communicate with iMessage without having a phone contract. As long as they've got Wi-Fi signal, they can still send iMessages. So you can give them that messaging without committing them to the expense of a mobile phone contract.
Which is kind of good,
quite
really.
Quite a good idea.
Give them that old... Mind, they probably wouldn't want the old Apple phone, would they? But
the iPod Touches are still great devices for that. Other things that are platform-specific. BlackBerry started off being BlackBerry Messenger, and, you know, that was the big thing. You could get BlackBerry Messenger. They went multi-platform, at least, so you can run BBM on Android and on Windows phones as well now. And, of course, the other thing that came in that came in as an app to try to get around SMS costs was WhatsApp. Now, WhatsApp got popularity because they charge a flat fee of I think it's about £1 a year, and you can send messages, and your addressing structure is still sending to a mobile phone number, but it goes through the WhatsApp.
The thing I don't like about WhatsApp is that it's restricted literally to the phone. You can't even use it on a tablet.
Now use it on tablets and on
computers. Oh, really? So they've extended that.
They have a WhatsApp web, which you can log into, and you can log into it on your tablet, and it basically then synchronizes with your phone across the network and still uses your phone to send the message. But you can at least do it on your PC and you get notifications in.
And is it their new owners which have started that off?
I don't know. I think it was something that a lot of, like you said, was the thing that was frustrating.
It was really, really irritating.
Yes. Now, I mean, there's also the classic things that have started out that weren't one-to-one messaging but have become that way, like Twitter. You know, we're all used to Twitter being, you know, I can broadcast to the world 140 characters. Now you can do direct messaging, and the messaging in Twitter is getting better and better all the time. So Twitter is a messaging platform, another interesting one. And Facebook. Facebook Messenger is becoming very popular because it is a cross-platform. You know, it runs on your Android, runs on your Windows phone, runs on your PC, runs on your Mac, runs on your iPhone. One message hits all of those at the same time. Now, if you don't like being tied into the Facebook world, which a lot of people are a bit against, there are quite a few platform-independent ones. Now, we touched on Skype. Skype is quite a good one, and, you know, Microsoft have added a lot of extra benefits to that, things like being able to do voice calls, being able to send text messages from it. You put a bit of credit on it, and you can use it. You can have another phone number on it as well. But the other thing is, of course, signed in on Skype on multiple devices, message arrives on all of them, and it synchronizes between all of them. Very cool. Video calling as well, which is something that is just, you know, fantastic to use. A few others. Telegram is another one that's fairly new to the market.
Come across
now,
Telegram.
Telegram is quite nice in that they are open source, they are not for profit. Okay, so there's no charge to use it. Their foundation that they set up actually says that they cannot be sold off to someone else. So someone can't come along and buy out Telegram. But they are cross-platform, so Windows, Mac, iPhone, Windows Phone, and Android. The great thing is you sign in on all your devices. The messages are real-time on all devices. It is very slick, very fast, and very easy to use. Now, and they keep adding more features. Literally on every other day, there's new features coming out. Great one to look at, Telegram. Just finally wrapping up the Skype side, Microsoft's business offerings, Link, is getting rebranded as Skype for Business, or Skype is rebranded as Link Skype for Business. And they are now merging it for people who are on the Business Link Edition, especially with Office 365, Microsoft's hosted solution. They are now allowing you to contact those corporate users from a personal Skype account. So your corporate contacts who are, you know, at bigcorporation.com, who are on the corporate closed environment, a gateway can be established by the IT group of that company to allow Skype external to then talk in, which brings a nice bunch of advantages. I can do things like then see that my account exec at my supplier is online. I can send him a quick message quicker than an email.
The one I use in my business, where we've got me here in Cambridge, a couple of guys in London, another guy in the Netherlands, something called Slack.
So Slack,
which
is
quite good. It's, you know, new venture capital
one,
thing.
Yeah.
It works quite well. We don't, at the moment, we don't have to pay, but if you integrate enough things, then it's like something like Hootsuite, I guess, really, which and charges, I mean, once you get past a certain level.
It gives you the messaging, but it's also a little bit almost Facebook for Business-ish, in that you can sort of post things in a discussion type forum.
The thing I like about it is that you can divide it into different categories.
Yes.
So we can have one for website stuff, one for advertising stuff, one for editorial, and that works quite nicely because you don't have to trouble the advertising man about something which is just a plain editorial issue.
It is the next generation of discussion forums online, really, in closed small user groups. Very interesting stuff. We can probably come back and talk about Slack, Yammer, and there's a whole load
of other ones, aren't there? I guess they're not all going to survive, as is the case with these things.
It's an interesting one. It depends on who gets the most customers. Anyway, that was messaging. And the last one that we mentioned before we got out of the news was Periscope and Meerkat.
Oh, yes.
Which are iPhone only at the moment. We're hoping that they come to other platforms, but both of them allow you to stream real-time video. Meerkat focus more on the Twitter verse, in other words, that you publish to your Twitter users, whereas Periscope is its own sort of standalone thing and is owned by Twitter. So Twitter bought Periscope. Meerkat is sort of left out in the cold a little bit.
I'm thinking that we should do a gadget guide.
As a live streaming video.
Well, maybe, the other one I was thinking about doing on NMG, perhaps, with Tim.
Maybe we should do it on multiple platforms. So we'll do a Periscope, a Meerkat, and also Google Hangouts, and see how many things we can have. We'll probably break the internet, though.
I think we possibly will, but it's always worth a try. And I was looking next door. Oh, I can see him. I didn't think he was there.
Yeah, no, I'm here.
He's in the
dark.
Sorry,
I've been busy doing emails. It's like the week never finishes, does it? But there we go.
Oh, yes.
You'd like to think you're done. You'd like to think 6 o'clock on a Friday, it's time to clock off. Apparently not, but there we are. Nothing to do with my real job.
What's your favourite instant messaging client?
We've had this discussion recently. I am a huge fan. I know not many people are. I'm a huge fan of Facebook. I find it a very effective
Facebook
way.
Messenger.
I find it a very effective way of keeping in touch, especially with my 16-year-old son, and it's a great way of disseminating information. But yes, you do have to be careful what you put on it.
I think one of the issues with all of these things, it's the same as it was when messaging started, and the problem is really that you can legislate for what do you use yourself,
yeah,
but you can't decide what your friends are going to use.
So
you end up having to overlap between a number of them.
Less is good, I think, in my book. See you afterwards with loads of good stuff. It's a sunny evening. Toodles.
Toodle.